I know that you will not object if I say that we are living in terrible times. Terrible times of pain, suffering, persecution. I want to bring your attention, dear brothers and sisters, to the encouragement which Apostle Peter gives to the believers who lived in the first century, who were also living in terrible times. Let us turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses from 20 to 23. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2, from verses 20 to 23. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered also for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. I remember the Sunday I came along with my family last time to Cornerstone Church to worship along with you during the time when the graduation for the previous batch was being planned. That was in the month of February 2015. On that day evening itself, I had to suddenly leave Goa and I had to immediately rush to my hometown because I came to know that my elder brother was seriously ill. Some of you know about this incident. And I reached the next day and I was told that by the hospital authorities that he had to be taken to another hospital because his condition was becoming worse. So we shifted him to another hospital in the same city and he was about to be put in the ventilator. I was just waiting outside the medical intensive care unit along with other people also who are waiting with a lot of pain and anxiety in front of the intensive care unit. Suddenly my cell phone beeped. It was my wife calling from Goa. It was another emergency. I was told that in the seminary, pastoral training seminary, the neighbor has again come up with some other strategy and tactic. And my wife told me that the police may come any time to the campus. I was wondering what to do. Another emergency. We did not do any harm to the neighbor. We did not do anything wrong to the neighbor. And many false accusations were framed. And I was wondering how my wife and children would be able to handle it when the police comes to the campus and they do some inspection in the campus. I was surprised what to do. Shall I scream? Shall I shout at the top of my voice? Shall I blame someone? Shall I complain? I was totally confused and helpless what to do at that time of suffering. It can be termed as unjust suffering. An emergency that has suddenly propped up. Many times we are confused what to do when such emergencies come. One added on the other. Many times we don't know what to do. Many times we handle it in the wrong way, adding more trouble to the existing situation. I was confused, I was helpless. What to do at that point of time? Today many people also are confused to how to handle such cases of unjust suffering that comes into your life and my life when we stand for our faith in Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, it is a reality that many times we don't know how to handle, and sometimes we handle it in the wrong way. But the scripture here, Apostle Peter, when he writes to the believers in the place where they were undergoing severe kind of suffering, if you look at the background of the book of 1 Peter, we can understand. When the believers stood for faith, they were persecuted in their workplace. They were persecuted by the members from their own family. They were persecuted by the governmental authorities. But the Apostle Peter here we find is giving the clear instruction a believer has to do, so that they know what to do when they face such kind of unjust suffering. So here we understand that the counseling Apostle Peter is giving to the believers is not to quit. The counseling what Apostle Peter is giving to the believers is not to give up or to shrink back in their faith in Christ. And all these believers were persecuted because they took a strong stand to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ amidst of all kind of oppositions. The encouragement given by Apostle Peter, we were just read that portion, endure patiently because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. The encouragement and the motivation given by Apostle Peter to the believers who are suffering there, they don't know what to do at that point of time, is to endure patiently because we are all disciples of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20 we just now read. Verse 20, the latter part of that verse. But if when you do, that is 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 20, the latter part. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, that can be termed as unjust suffering, isn't it, dear brothers and sisters? When you do right and suffer for it, the context is very clear that it is talking about unjust suffering. When you do right and you suffer for it, that is exactly and context of unjust suffering. And instead of giving up, instead of saying, I am going to quit, Apostle Peter is telling here exactly in the same verse, you patiently endure it, the latter part of the verse. This finds favor with God. So God's counsel to you and I, when you come across or when you are supposed to handle a case of unjust suffering where you don't have any clear reason why you are suffering, is to endure it patiently. Endure it patiently because this finds favor with God. God is well pleased if you do not buckle under pressure. God is well pleased when you endure it patiently, knowing that the sovereign God has, out of his great love and purpose, has allowed you to go through such kind of a suffering. So that it pleases God. World may be telling many things, but scripture is telling this is the truth, this is biblical. So enduring patiently at the time of suffering is biblical. It is biblical. And the key motivation why Peter is challenging them to endure patiently is given in the next verse itself. Verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Verse 21 is teaching that this is how exactly our master handled suffering. Our master Jesus Christ did not handle it in a totally different way. You and I have been called from different backgrounds, from the dominion of darkness to be his children, so that we may leave everything and follow after the master. So the challenge the scripture is giving to us, to me and you and I, is that we need to follow our master even in this area of handling unjust suffering. That is exactly what the Lord has called us to do. The scripture is telling you have been called for this purpose. So the key encouragement the scripture is giving is that when we come across unjust suffering, the scripture is telling, do not quit. Do not give up. God is in full control. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings of the universe is in full control of your life at that moment of suffering also. So do not never buckle under pressure. Scripture is telling, you can bear it because you are following Jesus Christ. He has went through the suffering. He didn't buckle. He didn't collapse. And the Lord who has called us is faithful. We can endure patiently. Today we are going to look at three areas in which you and I can be disciples of Jesus Christ when we come across such sufferings in life. The first one is be a disciple of Jesus Christ by imitating his innocence. Shall we look at verse 22? Who committed the perfect example of Jesus Christ in handling sufferings explained in the next two verses? Now we're going to investigate further so that we also can apply the same thing our own life because we are following the master. And in verse 22 it is written, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. That speaks about the innocence of Jesus Christ. And if you consider the law, we understand from the scripture that he fulfilled the law. He never break any law. And we also understand that no deceit was found in his mouth. That means if he is evaluated, nobody can find any deceit from his mouth. He was perfectly innocent. Our master is such an innocent Lord. And we know that whatever suffering he went through was really unjust. Isn't it, dear brothers and sisters? It was really unjust. And we all know the portions of John chapter 8 verse 46. Jesus Christ is challenging, which one of you can convict me of sin? Nobody could give an answer to it. Even Pilate, after examining everything, in Matthew chapter 27, 23 we read, why? What evil has he done? He was perfectly innocent. Perfectly he was innocent. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a very important point we should understand when we are planning to imitate Jesus Christ when we handle suffering. The question is, when you think that you are suffering unjustly for some reason or cause, the question that comes to your mind and my mind must be a self-examination. Are you innocent really? Are you really innocent when you suffer? Or do you have some element or iota of contribution in it? I remember my student who came running to me. That happened around 12, 13 years back. He came suddenly running. What happened? I asked him. His face was full of sorrow. And I asked him, what happened? Sir, I failed in 6 out of my 7 subjects in the semester. 6 out of 7 he failed. I suddenly remembered that he had told me after the examination he has done perfectly well in all the examination. I was just wondering, the university professors, they have done something injustice. They did not do the correction properly and my poor student has failed in all the, out of 7 he has failed in all the 6 exams. I was just wondering, this is a fit case of unjust suffering. My student has worked really hard but he failed in all the 6 subjects. He did really well. Then I started inquiring with that person, stage by stage. Then I found that it was an interesting case. The things got uncovered. I came to know that this person actually cheated in the examination. And today also I don't know how he failed, because he could escape the eyes of the invigilator who was supervising the exam hall, but he could not escape the eyes of the Lord watching him. And he failed. I don't know how now also how he failed. Lord in his sovereignty allowed him to fail. Then I was wondering, is this a case of unjust suffering? Never. Many times we go through suffering and we want to call it as unjust suffering, but really it is not. It is many times a just suffering. And that moment, he was a believer boy, he repented. He told, I am never going to repeat it. In the coming examination for the God's glory, he never did it. He passed the examination. So it is a good thing to evaluate, dear brothers and sisters, your life and my life. When are we walking like Christ walked? Whether someone examines us, whether we will be found as innocent, so that they will tell you that you are suffering unjustly. Many times we do not obey traffic rules. Challan comes to our home. We are suffering. Many times filing income tax we do not do and we are caught by the income tax office. And many times we do not honor the rules in your workplace. The boss always fires at you. This is a case of natural suffering. And even you shout at the neighbors and you put your sound system at very high volume and the neighbors give a complaint and you suffer. Dear brothers and sisters, let me challenge you just now. If God is convicting you of about any sin in your life, repent now. He has promised that if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So in the light of the scripture, let us move forward in growing in innocence. In the coming week, which area you are planning, dear brother or sister, to be more innocent, to be more like Christ Jesus Christ. He is our master. So when you talk about unjust suffering, this scripture is challenging us to imitate in the innocence of Jesus Christ. He was perfectly, he was innocent and he handled it when he was innocent. The second way in which you and I can handle unjust suffering is like be a disciple of Jesus Christ by imitating his restraint. That is given in the next verse. Look at verse 23. We read like this. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. That is the first part of verse 23. We learn about how our master exercised restraint. The word meaning of restraint is to remain calm and controlled. And another word also we can see, that is verse 23. He did not revile in return. The word meaning of revile is to speak angrily. When someone shouts, when someone is persecuting us, the scripture is telling, pointing out to the example of Jesus Christ, how he handled it. The scripture is telling very clearly that He exercised restraint. The scripture is telling here that he did not revile in return. He uttered no threat. Look at that statement. How he exercised restraint. The question that comes is whether it is possible for Christ to issue any threat. That question will never arise, isn't it? He never need to utter any threat. He is the Son of God, the Almighty One. He, in that position also, he exercised restraint to remain calm and controlled. In the book of Gospels, we read that he went through sufferings. And we all know, if you read the Gospels, that he was insulted. He was humiliated. Even a thief on the cross also passed comments on him. Many questioned his divinity. Many people charged false accusations against him. Nowhere we find our master reviling in return or other kinds of reaction that normally people do. So we are excited at the example of our Master Jesus Christ. Isn't it, dear brothers and sisters? We are really excited to know that our Master handled it in a very totally different way. The world will react in totally different way. They will shout. They will scream. They will do many things when they are questioned. When people frame false accusations against them. This is quite unnatural, isn't it? This is not the way the world behaves. You are also sometimes tempted to at least I might have used these two words in reply. We are not satisfied. At least I should tell something in return so that I can cause some kind of a trouble to the other person. But the Master Jesus Christ, he exercised restraint. One believer, he came to Goa a few months back. He was working in the North India. He was sharing this very interesting incident a few months back to me. He went to a government office in North India and he went inside to submit an application for something to be done. And it was around 12 o'clock during the noon time. It was written on the wall, lunch interval is from 1 to 2 o'clock. And he went inside and he approached the officer and the officer told, "This is lunch time." He looked at the wall, it is 1 to 2. It's only 12 o'clock. "This is lunch time. You come after the lunch interval." He was surprised. He just went outside and he just waited there even without taking the lunch. I think the experience is similar for offices in Goa too. So you find this person is waiting outside without taking any lunch till 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon. And the surprising thing is, in the meantime, many people were going inside without any hesitation and things were done for them. This poor person was sitting outside in the waiting area. And another person was observing all those things. And he came and asked this brother, "See, you could have gone and inquired with the people there. And you could have gone and complained. You could have gone and shouted. Why it is not done?" Then the brother in Christ replied to that stranger that, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. This is how my Lord handled injustice. This is how exactly I am going to handle this too. And this gave a wonderful opportunity for this brother to share the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ to the stranger. When people cause suffering to us, many times we are tempted to respond and react sinfully, isn't it? By words, by actions. But that is not following our master. That is following the worldly lifestyle. That is following the old lifestyle. The scripture is encouraging us to follow his steps. His step is very much clear in the scripture. His steps are very much evident in the scripture. It is detailed how he handles suffering. So the challenge that is placed before you and I is to practice restraint. Even we can also look at the example when normally when you remain calm and controlled, when other person is shouting, if you remain silent, other person will be really amazed. Even that similar same thing happened to Jesus Christ also. We read that in the book of Matthew chapter 27 verses 12 to 14. We read there that many people were coming with false accusations, allegations against Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ remained calm and controlled. And it is written in the scripture that Pilate was quite amazed. It is very natural to shout when others are shouting at you. It is very natural to behave angrily towards others when you know that others is they are causing real injustice to us. But that is not the way in which Jesus Christ handled it. So the challenge that is the Lord is giving us is to imitate our master. How he handled suffering. And let us also, by the Lord's help, imitate, like exercising restraint. And the final and the third way we study in this portion, how to handle unjust suffering, is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ by imitating his firm trust in God. Shall we read the second part of verse 23? While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. This is how our master responded to unjust suffering. He did not respond by expressing anger. He did not respond by using evil words or abusive words. He responded by trusting, a firm trust in the Almighty God who judges righteously. And let us look at the usage of that word entrusting. What is the meaning of the word entrust? The dictionary meaning goes like this. Giving oneself into the responsible hands. Giving oneself into the responsible hands. And it is written here that it is the lifestyle. The usage of the word shows that he kept entrusting. It was a continuous way in which even when Jesus Christ was handling the unjust suffering. He kept on. He kept on giving himself into the responsible hands of the Almighty God. And the reason here is very clearly given. Who judges righteously? So, how Jesus Christ responded to unjust suffering is very clearly given. He responded by entrusting always himself, not to man, not to any human court, not to the neighbor, but always he kept entrusting himself into the responsible hands. Who judges righteously? That usage of the word is very, very important. Who judges righteously? That means who sees everything in and out, who examines everything, who alone is able to judge it in the appropriate way, who will handle it without showing any partiality, who has a great love for his children. He is going to judge the matter. I am not going to judge it. The human court not capable enough to judge it. But it is judged by him who is on the throne. All authorities are under his feet. He is called as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. To him the matter is entrusted. We are not entrusting the matter to any mortal, depraved human man. It is being submitted to the one who has the authority to judge it in the righteous way. So the scripture is challenging us, dear brothers and sisters, to entrust yourself completely into the hand of God, firmly trusting in him. And look at the word judges righteously. We read this in the book of Romans chapter 12 also. The Lord says, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay. You don't do anything. There is another side of judging righteously also, if you look at the word usage. Then you may ask, why I am a child of God? Then why God is allowing me to pass through this suffering phase? It's really painful for me. I'm not able to bear it. Then what is the purpose behind it? The scripture is telling that also the Lord is doing in a righteous way. That means when you go through the valleys of shadows of death, when you go through the period of intense suffering, the Lord is watching you with his perfect eyes to see that the sufferings have a great outcome and purpose. So when you entrust the matter to God, that is all you and I need to need. When unjust suffering comes, we run here, we run there, we don't get any justice. But the Master's example is a great encouragement to us. So we can endure patiently, dear brothers and sisters, because the matter is in the hands of God. It's not in your hand or my hand. It is in the hands of the living God. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 19, also because it is written, the 1 Peter is written in the same context. Again, the suffering matter is addressed and a beautiful instruction is given in 1 chapter 4 verse 19. I will read it for you. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 19. Therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Peter is again bringing up the point of suffering and he is instructing the believers, endure patiently. It may be the perfect will of God that God is taking you through the suffering. I will take vengeance. Vengeance belongs to me. But I have a purpose for you while taking you through this intense period of suffering. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did our Master tell? In book of Matthew chapter 26, 42, we read a prayer of trust. I will drink from it. That is how our Master told. This cup of suffering, I will drink from it. But your will be done. He knew that there is a purpose. the purpose of his suffering on the cross is not hidden in the scripture portion. Look at verse 20-21. He suffered. He called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you. So when Jesus Christ was undergoing the unjust suffering, he was suffering for a great purpose. Your salvation and my salvation. He is endured personally for the joy that was set before him. We read it in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. So whenever we go through an intense period of suffering, we are wondering what to do. The God is at work as you entrust it completely into the Lord's hand. When I remember the suffering of a sister in Christ, I'm very much perplexed today even how that sister is able to handle it. That sister is a very close friend of my wife, and she's also a believer, and her suffering is in her family life, and the husband also is a believer, and we don't know how to explain the things, but the husband has filed for divorce in the court, and it is there in the court for the last 3-4 years, and they have a small child, and even I tell you what happened is during the process of the court proceedings, even the sister came to know that her own advocate did some manipulation with the other advocate. Can we depend on human advocates? There are governmental systems in place. How much can we rely on the human systems? But this sister in Christ, she is not willing to give up. She is enduring patiently. 2 weeks back, we came to know that even her believing parents also are telling, give up. Let us say yes. But this sister in Christ is not willing to give up. She is telling, I want to obey what the Lord says. I am not going to accept any divorce. She is willing to bear it with patience. And something happened last week also at her home. Everyone is telling, give up. Even her siblings also. But she is not willing to give up. I'm just wondering, what is this power coming from? Where this energy is coming from, a very simple girl to stand like this? Because of her firm entrusting in the responsible hands, who is able to judge everything righteously. Many times we collapse because we entrust it in human hands. Human hands always are fragile. They cannot handle it. But this is a great example. And she's not willing to buckle under pressure. Knowing that, she has entrusted herself to God who judges righteously. Entrusting to men is not imitating Christ. Our Master entrusted him completely to the Father. And people today run to human court, expecting that they will get some favor. But think for a while, dear brothers and sisters, do they judge righteously? If you look at the history of case verdict in India, last week an article also came in the newspaper. You may take all the provisions that the law has granted to us. Romans chapter 12 is telling that. You can, whatever the constitution of the law has granted to us, we can use what the Lord has granted, all the provisions, but never primarily rely on it. The primarily reliance can be only in the Lord of Lords, who knows everything in and out. Even the hidden things are also naked and plain before him. So our reliance must be on him when we handle unjust suffering. Finally, brethren, sufferings. Unjust sufferings are good platforms to display that you and I are following the Master. And even in the life of Joseph, we read like that very clearly, isn't it? The testimony of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. People meant evil for me. He went through sufferings at his workplace, in his own family. How did he respond? Even by the authority, he didn't get any justice. But at the end of the chapter of Genesis, he's written writing like this. They meant evil for me, but God meant it for my good to preserve people. So the scripture is very clearly encouraging us. We are living in terrible times, dear brothers and sisters. There are suffering, there are persecutions in your family or from the neighborhood or in your workplace. The scripture is not counseling us to give up. Scripture is telling, endure patiently. I am well pleased with you. And the word of God is even challenging us to grow in innocence, to express restraint, and to entrust ourselves completely into the hands of God who judges righteously. So my prayer to you and prayer to me also is that when unjust suffering comes, we will never say quit. But we will just follow how the Master did. May the Lord grant us all the strength and grace to victoriously pass through, because God has a great purpose behind the suffering. God will mean it for our good ultimately. May the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this wonderful moments, Lord, you have granted us to meditate on you, our Master, our Lord. We want to follow you, Lord, every step of in our life. Lord, we admit that many times we have admitted we have quit. We have thrown away our confidence. We admit, Lord, that when you examine us, we are not found innocent. We admit, Lord, that we have many times not exercised restraint. Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, we want to follow you, Lord. And we want to entrust ourselves completely into your responsible hands. Lord, we know that you are doing everything with a great purpose. I pray for everyone here, and I pray for myself also, that, Lord, I will handle it patiently with endurance. We give you all the glory and honor. We offer you all the worship. You are our King and you are our Lord. We submit to you all our prayers and requests in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.